a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everyone? This is End Time Headlines, and it is Tuesday morning, April 19th. We welcome you to the broadcast. I know it is a little bit early. It was significantly earlier than what we normally, the time that we normally come on here, but we had to make some provisions for you guys that are watching live. We had to make some provisions today to change things around. So we are coming on here a little bit early today, but we welcome. The good thing about this is it allows individuals that not normally would be able to come on here at 1 p.m. Eastern time that maybe would come on here at this time. So we welcome you guys live. If you're live here on Facebook Live, we welcome you to the broadcast. And at this time, we want to welcome all of our viewers at this time live and by the rebroadcast of this. Again, this is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Before we get started on today's topic, I want to encourage you to download our free app if you've not done it yet. Again, it is available absolutely free. It's available on Apple and it's available on Android. You can download yours today to keep up with all of our headlines and our latest podcasts that are visible, and you can watch them or listen to them or both at your leisure. So don't forget to do that today. So we've got some interesting headlines that we want to talk about today. Today's topic is a demand for a third temple is growing in Jerusalem. Also, Putin is now demanding control of a church in Jerusalem. So today is going to be centered around Jerusalem. And having said that, you have heard us say over and over again on this program, we have emphasized countless times on the significance of Jerusalem in the last days, Jerusalem and Israel, and why it would become what the prophet said, a cup of trembling. In fact, let's go ahead and take you to those scriptures, Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. And I'm going to be reading this from two different translations. I typically don't do this on normal occasions, but I like how the New Living Translation brought this out. So I'm going to read this from the New King James, and then we're going to read this from the New Living Translation. But again, this is the prophet Zechariah and chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples, and all who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. Now, I'm going to read you the exact same passage. Again, this is from the New Living Translation, and I love how it words this. I will make Jerusalem like an intoxicating drink that makes the nearby nations stagger when they send their armies to besiege Jerusalem and Judah. Now, keep in mind, I want to emphasize today, especially when we get to the second part of this segment, that there is coming a prophetic war mentioned in Ezekiel 38 and 39, and it's the war of Gog and Magog, and it directly involves a coalition of nations with the intent to besiege Jerusalem. And this has not yet happened in our lifetime, that is prophetic and that is future. But Zechariah says that Jerusalem would become an intoxicating drink in the latter days, or in the time of the end, to nations who will stagger when they send their armies or their coalitions to besiege Jerusalem and Judah. On that day, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock, and all the nations will gather against it to try to move it, but they will only hurt themselves. Now, I want to read, this is Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and he echoes what Zechariah said regarding Israel and Jerusalem. For behold, in those days, and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, you see that, and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And by the way, this is where Armageddon will take place, which is another major prophetic war that has not happened in our lifetime. And I will enter into judgment with them, the nations that come against Jerusalem, on account of my people, that's Israel. And he says it, my heritage, Israel, whom they, the nations of the world, have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. Now, you guys have heard me talk about this. If you've been a viewer or listener of our ministry and our podcast, by in any length of time, you've probably heard me go into detail about the fact that nations of the world will eventually partake in dividing Jerusalem. And because they will succeed in the division, now I don't know, will that happen under Biden's watch? I don't know. Will it happen under the next president? I don't know. But eventually down the road, they will succeed in dividing Jerusalem. And it won't just be America's hand involved in it. It will be nations, plural tense, that will have a direct hand in the dividing of Israel. And because of that, Zechariah and Joel both said that judgment will come upon those nations. And the interesting part about it is Zechariah says that Israel will become an immovable rock. In other words, they can conspire, they can plan, they can attempt, but they will not succeed in destroying, removing, and eliminating the nation of Israel. Now, that brings me to our first headline. Now, this headline was released right during the time of three major events dealing with three major religions. One is Christianity, one is Islam, and one is Judaism. So we have Passover, Easter, and Ramadan. And consequently, I didn't put this up here, but there was a what they call a super pink moon or a blood moon that was visible during the same time frame. But also, in case you didn't keep up with the news over the weekend and over this Easter weekend or Passover weekend, there was bloodshed that took place on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem during this same time frame that all this was happening. And because of this, there was an article that was posted, and this is where the headline is that you're looking at on your screen. This is from the Jerusalem Post, and it was written by Tully Weiss, who wrote this for the Jerusalem Post. And look at this headline. When blood spills on Passover and Easter, it's time to build the temple. Let me read that again. When blood spills on Passover and Easter, it's time to build the temple. And again, this is an opinion piece. Quote, what is Hamas' greatest fear? Quote, that Israel will start to build the temple. Now, what are they talking about? The temple. They are talking about Revelation chapter 11, which describes in detail the construction and the building of a third temple in Israel. And we've talked about that. I don't want to bring up that scripture because you can go and read that, Revelation chapter 11. That's a physical temple that will be constructed during the tribulation. Now look at this, quote, I'm going to read some excerpts from this post, from Jerusalem Post. Quote, one would have hoped that during yesterday, and they're referring to what Americans call Easter, Judaism calls Passover, and Muslims consider to be Ramadan. Yesterday's unique convergence of Passover, Easter, and Ramadan would have led to a wonderful day of peace and brotherhood in the spiritual capital city of Jerusalem. However, that was not the case. There was rioters who turned the Temple Mount into a bloody battlefield, hurling stones at Jewish worshipers and Israeli vehicles. Palestinian terrorists have been fanning the flames of religious violence in recent weeks as Israelis have been preparing for the Passover holiday observed this week. And on Thursday evening, April the 8th, a Palestinian terrorist attacked Tel Aviv's busy Dizengoff, I believe that's how you pronounce it, square, where mainly secular Israeli young people were crowded at bars and cafes, tragically murdering three Jews in their 20s. Now, again, and it's been one after another after another. There's been like three terrorist attacks that has hit Israel in the past 2 weeks. Shortly after the deadly massacre, Hamas explained their motive and declared, quote, "The continuing terrorism of the occupation and its crimes attempts to Judaize Jerusalem and to perform sacrifices in the Al-Aqsa Mosque to build its," quote, "so-called temple during what they call Passover. Against it stands blood and bullets." So hold on, guys, time out. I don't know if you caught that, but here we have the Muslims who are perfectly aware and understand that Israel is looking to build a third temple in Jerusalem. The Sanhedrin has been preparing for it. The Temple Institute has been preparing for it. The religious sect of the Jews have been preparing for it. And even the Muslims, even Hamas, understands this, and they know that Israel is trying to rebuild the temple or build this temple in Jerusalem, and they're trying to stop this. Though through their statement, Hamas exposed their greatest fear that Israel will start to build the temple. Now, I want to read on here. Ready? Quote, "For thousands of years, Jews have been praying for a return to the land of Israel. Over the last century, we," again, this is coming from a Jewish writer from the Jerusalem Post, "we have miraculously been restored to our homeland from the four corners of the earth, thus fulfilling Bible prophecy." Go back and watch one of our recent podcasts where we went into great detail about prophecies that were foretold by different prophets of the Old Testament that have been fulfilled. Prophets such as Isaiah and Amos and Hosea and Jeremiah. You got to go back and read that. One of them would be that the Jews would be restored unto their land. But I'm going to read on. Let me read it again. We "have miraculously been restored to our homeland from the four corners of the earth, but we are still awaiting the proper time to build the temple." Now, you got Christians that are watching this today, and they will refute everything I'm telling you today. They do not believe that there's coming a third temple. They don't even believe in Revelation 11, where John sees the construction of this temple, the measurements of it. And he even says that the outer courts of it will be trampled on by the Gentiles for 42 months. There's two different camps here. One believes that this is speaking of a temple in heaven, which is not possible. And we have covered that in an earlier podcast as well. And the other camp is that this cannot be a physical temple because we are the temple. And I covered all that. I don't want to spend the next 25 minutes exhausting my voice and you guys to explain it. Most of you have more sense than that and understand. When, listen, one of the One of the laws of interpreting scripture is when the simple interpretation of scripture explains itself, seek no other interpretation. When the plain sense of scripture interprets itself, seek no other interpretation. And that's the problem we've got. So again, go read Revelation 11, examine it in detail, and you will discover that it is a literal temple that will be rebuilt in the tribulation period. The writer of this Jerusalem Post piece said, quote, Judaism is incomplete without the temple. And Passover is a prime example, as Deuteronomy makes it clear. And he quotes Deuteronomy 16. Quote, you are not permitted to slaughter the Passover sacrifice in any of the settlements that your God has given you, but at that place where Hashem, your God, and they're reading from a Jewish translation here, so don't freak out on me here. For Hashem, your God, will choose to establish his name. There alone shall your slaughter the Passover sacrifice in the evening at sundown, the time of day when you departed from Egypt. So that's the verse he quotes here. Now, again, he goes on and he reiterates how Hamas and many of these factions are terrified that Israel may indeed fulfill this, or they will carry this out. They'll accomplish the building of this temple. And I've got news for you. It's going to happen, according to Revelation 11. Quote, on a national level, the rebuilding of the temple would be a great humiliation to the Palestinian terror groups, but on a religious level, the construction of Judaism's third temple would in no way pose a threat to Islam, whose main religious holy sites are in Mecca and Medina. Again, giving more credence to the fact that this is going to happen. This is going to happen. Who is going to influence this? Is it going to be the Antichrist that is to come? Is it going to be who, by the way, the Antichrist will invade this temple and he will set up his headquarters there? So that ventures to say that if he is going to encourage to do that, it's going to be in the first 42 months of the signing of this 7-year peace treaty, Daniel 9:27. Or will this be constructed before the Antichrist comes along and it will be in place so that he can come and set up his seat of authority? This is kind of where we're heading, guys. So we're going to see, you know, we're heading in that direction. Time will tell. Are we going to be the generation that will witness these things? Are we going to be here even to see that? Because in Thessalonians, it says the restrainer, who now restrains, will do so until he's taken out of the way, or he's removed out of the way. And then the man of sin is revealed, and then he sets up his headquarters in the temple. So I'm going to read on here. Responsible Jewish, Christian, and Muslim leaders should use this recent wave of Islamic violence to immediately begin discussing practical and, listen to this, peaceful steps for the rebuilding of the temple on the Temple Mount. Wow, guys, come on. I mean, you want a prophetic headline? Let me read that again. And this is, and I don't even know if this guy is messianic. I don't know that. I'm only reading to you not from any, this is not an evangelical, this is not a Pentecostal that I know of. I don't believe he's Baptist. Again, this is an editorial opinion piece from the Jerusalem Post where he says, quote, responsible Jewish, Christian, and Muslim leaders. Stop. Remember, I have told you on this program over and over again that the false prophet, whoever he is, will merge major religions, I believe two major religions together. Islam and some type of an apostate Christianity that will be a mixture of Judaism and Christianity. Again, and he will merge them together and form a global one world religion. And look, listen to the verbiage of this. Responsible Jewish, Christian, and Muslim leaders should use the recent wave of Islamic violence to immediately begin discussing practical and peaceful steps. Hello, when they say peace and safety, Thessalonians. Or how about the fact that the Antichrist in Daniel 9:27 will sign a covenant of peace with Israel and the surrounding nations for 7 years and break it in the 42-month mark. And this guy is saying there should be a demand for practical and peaceful steps for the rebuilding of the temple. And then he says, and put it on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Listen, quote, it can be done without damaging or disrespecting the Dome of the Rock or Al-Askamas or the Al-Askamas as part of a future peace plan Are you listening? Between Israel and her Arab neighbors. Now, again, what does Daniel 9:27 say that the Antichrist will do? He will sign a covenant of peace with Israel and her surrounding neighbors. Wow. This is unbelievable, guys. Everything is falling into place prophetically. Now, that's one headline. Now I want to shift gears and bring you this headline. This another unbelievable headline. And this is going to come up on your screen for you guys that are watching live. Putin demands Russia gain control of Jerusalem church as promised. Again, this is also a headline from the Jerusalem Post, but it was also shared by the Times of Israel and some other Israeli and even Middle East affiliates. So I'm going to read you some excerpts of this and get you up to speed with what's going on here. Russian President Vladimir Putin demanded that Israel grant his country control of the Alexander courtyard in Jerusalem as the previous Israeli government had promised. In a letter delivered to Prime Minister Bennett on Sunday, Putin's letter came barely a day after the foreign ministry in Moscow slammed the foreign minister of Israel for accusing Russia of war crimes in Ukraine. So look at this. Now we have tensions that are building and mounting between Russia and Israel. Hello, Gog and Israel. Gog, Magog, that Russia is involved in the Gog, Magog war of Ezekiel 38-39. The Russian foreign ministry blasted the Israeli foreign ministry, saying that Israel is using Ukraine to cover up for its own conflict with the Palestinians. Quote, transferring the ownership of the church land could cause diplomatic trouble for Israel at a time when its Western allies have been sanctioning Russia over its invasion of Ukraine. The Alexander Courtyard, also known as the Alexander Nevsky Church, and the Cathedral of the Holy Trinity is in the Christian quarter of Jerusalem's old city. Here again, Jerusalem is the centerpiece. It's becoming the cup of trembling that Zechariah foretold. Former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu promised Putin that Russia could take over the landmark back in 2020 as one of a series of gestures meant to help the Nama Issachar, an Israeli woman held in a Russian jail on drug charges. Soon after, Israel's land registry commissioner listed the Russian government as the owner of the church. What were they thinking on this? The courtyard had been part of a dispute between Orthodox Church organizations. Jerusalem District Court Judge Mordecai Kaduri canceled the transfer of ownership to the Russian government in March of this year. The Israeli government argued that Russian Federation is the successor of the Russian imperial government, which was registered as the owner during the Ottoman rule. The Orthodox Palestine Society of the Holy Land, which owned the site until it was granted to the current Russian government, sued, arguing that the transfer of ownership was political. Kaduri said that Prime Minister Bennett would have to decide because it's a diplomatic matter. Foreign Russian Prime Minister Stepashin, I believe it's her, chairman of the Imperial Orthodox Palestinian Society, said during a visit to Israel in recent days that Russia is, quote, fighting for return of the compound, and it's very difficult. He went on and accused Israel of playing, quote, both sides, playing ping pong on the issue. So what are we talking about? We're talking about increasing tension that is escalating between Russia and Israel, who are both major players in the war of Gog and Magog. Oh, and by the way, Iran, or Persia, who also is a major player in Gog and Magog, has just came out and gave a chilling warning to Israel and said and warned Israel that if they make any slightest inclination or move, that they are going to carry out a strike against Iran for their nuclear program, that Iran, or aka Persia, as the Bible calls him, will carry out an attack against Israel's heartland. So here you have these three major players, Israel, Russia, and Persia, all making headlines, and tensions are growing, tensions are mounting, and prophecy is accelerating. These are trying times. These are perilous times, but these are exciting times. When you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Again, be sure to go to our main website. You can check it out right there. You can subscribe to it. You'll get a daily newsletter in your inbox of your email, or again, don't forget to download our free app. It's available on Apple and it's available on Android. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of blessing, information, equipping, and encouraging on a weekly basis, we ask you to do is just pray about becoming a monthly partner, or if the Lord puts on your heart, maybe sow a one-time gift. What does this do? It helps us to remain strong and active and continue to do what we do. Again, I've always said the water is free, but the pipes that facilitate the water to run through are not. Websites are not free. Subscription base is not free. The app has elements to it. The app was definitely not free to create it, but it costs to maintain these things. It costs money to maintain a ministry. Everything is free to you guys. Listen, the messages are still going to be free. The updates are still free. The app is still free. The subscription base is still free. It does not cost you a dime. All we ask again is that if you've been blessed, you pray about it and ask the Holy Spirit what you should do, and you be led by the Holy Spirit, and you do, and you be obedient to what the Lord puts on your heart. And listen, He will bless you for it. I can prove that all day long with the Bible. Give, and it shall be given back unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And with the same measure you meet, it shall be met unto you. So we appreciate all of our partners, our supporters, and our givers to our ministry. We appreciate all of our prayer partners. Look, all that you've done to our ministry, helped with our ministry and partners with us, we cannot express words of gratitude how you have been such a blessing. So if you wish to give today, in any form or fashion, whatever your relationship is with this ministry, you can give two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can simply give by check or money order. And that's going to be at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. And that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, thank you for taking the time to come on here on this Tuesday to be with us and be a part of this broadcast today. Again, don't forget to share. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to hit the push of the bell for push notifications and all that as well. And we're going to sign off. We're going to say a quick prayer over you and blessing over you. We're going to sign off for today. We will be off tomorrow, but we will be back on here on Thursday, Lord willing, with a yet another exciting program for you guys as well. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everyone listening today, either live or by the rebroadcast of this, or watching. We pray that you'd bless them today. Lord, extend your hand of sovereignty over them, and mercy and blessing and prosperity over them. Lord, may you keep them from harm, danger, and disabling accidents today. Lord, I plead and profess the blood of Jesus over their lives, over their families, over their marriages, and over their possessions and everything that they lay their hands to do. We thank you, Lord. I bind all assignments of hell that would be perpetrated against them, against their finances, against their health, against their marriages, against their children, against their businesses, their ministry, or whatever it is. And we declare the assignments of heaven to come to fruition over your life, and we pray it today in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, and all God's people said amen and amen. Listen, God bless you guys. We're going to sign off. We'll see you guys back on Thursday.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.